I'm Earlonne Woods.
I'm Nigel Poor. We're the hosts and creators of Ear Hustle from PRX's Radiotopia.
Ear Hustle is a show about life inside prison, but it's not your typical prison podcast.
In this next season, we've got stories about the objects people keep inside their prison cells.
About residents in a women's prison who say they want to stay there.
And the most beautiful prison garden. Earlonne, I will never forget it.
Ear Hustle. Stories about life on the inside, told by those who live it.
Find Ear Hustle wherever you get your podcasts.
Support comes from Grady Health Foundation, presenting Move for Grady Saturday, April 27th, featuring a family-friendly bike ride through Atlanta's in-town neighborhoods. There's a ride, run, or walk distance for everyone, benefiting Grady Health System. More at moveforgrady.com.
Welcome to Gold Dome Scramble, our weekly checkup of the Georgia General Assembly. I'm Lisa Raham. This is it. We're approaching the end of the 2021 session. And with me today are politics reporters Emil Moffitt and Emma Hurt. Welcome. Good morning. Glad to have you here.
Hey, Lisa, the end is near.
We're almost there. Just the final steps.
It is winding down. Sine die is on Wednesday. Sine die, of course, for our non-Latin speakers means without days, as there will be no more days left in the 40-day session. Now, we've had the major voting bill signed into law last week, and since we've started every episode with voting laws, let's start there. Emil, what's in this new law?
Yeah, it was signed into law late last week. It adds ID requirements for mail-in voting instead of just the signature match process, which we saw was so controversial last year. It limits the locations and hours of those absentee ballot drop boxes, which came in so handy with all the mail-in voting. And opponents say that kind of defeats the purpose of the ballot drop boxes if they're inside and are only open during voting hours. It adds new powers for the state election board to intervene in county election management, and it replaces the Secretary of State on the election board with someone elected by the General Assembly. Really takes a lot of power away from Secretary of State Raffensperger. It also adds a second mandatory Saturday of early voting, which means smaller counties that didn't do that last time will have actually more early voting during the general election. It'll kind of stay status quo for the larger counties. But the runoffs are kind of a whole other story where early voting has been scaled back. And one of the other measures that's gotten a lot of attention nationally is that it bans anyone from giving out food or drink to a voter waiting in line at a polling place. And of course, we saw some of those hours-long lines last year where that water and those snacks kind of came in handy.
That last measure in particular has a lot of people crying foul. Why?
Well, it's this notion that people shouldn't be given any enticements or inducements while they're waiting in line, because you could see where that could be abused if you're going down the line handing out, in a wild example, $100 bills and saying, vote for me. But the question is handing somebody a 50-cent bottle of water going to sway their vote? And especially because Emma and I both covered, you know, long lines during the primaries last year, and we saw these volunteers handing out water, and they weren't going around saying, who are you voting for? You can have water. You're voting for this person. You can't have water. They were basically saying, who wants water? Here it is.
And I'll just jump in. I mean, it is already illegal to campaign close to a polling place, right? You can't advertise your campaign or your candidate. But some partisan groups have been handing out water and food. And that's what, as Emil said, these state lawmakers are trying to address. They did put a carve out in, you can set up a self-service water station. That's the one exception, by the way.
People are concerned with a lot of these bullet points, but Emma, some notable measures did not make it into the law.
You're right. It's really notable what's not in this law. So some of the most controversial voting proposals that we've talked about on this podcast, like the idea of getting rid of automatic voter registration or eliminating no excuse absentee voting, are not in this new law. And that is, you know, response to pressure that Republicans have gotten from each other. There were Republican leaders, as we've talked about, who were never a fan of some of these measures, including the governor and the speaker, and also from some, like the business community and other people around the country who've drawn attention to this.
Still, Emil, there are charges of racism.
Yeah, and many Republicans are bristling. We especially heard it from Governor Kemp on Thursday. The national scrutiny they've got over the law, people calling it Jim Crow 2.0. Republicans argue it is a needed cleanup of the state's voting system, the absentee ballot application deadline change, for example. But Democrats aren't having that. And, you know, as we saw, this substitute to this bill was more than 90 pages, and it wasn't available for an entire weekend, and it wasn't available for the entire time that this bill was being debated in committee. So the fact that there wasn't a lot of transparency in the writing of this bill, there wasn't a lot of Democratic input, I think rubs a lot of people the wrong way and kind of goes against this notion that it was a cleanup of the system.
There had been a chance that this would go to a conference committee, but that didn't happen. Why?
Yeah, I mean, it was kind of a long assumed end point because this is such a controversial issue, and the House and the Senate did have a lot of different competing ideas. But it seems like all along there was some hope that they could avoid a conference committee, because the risk with a conference committee when that happens is a bill can kind of get hijacked, right? Everything's on the table. And so the Senate and the House behind the scenes were working together to come to an arrangement. And leadership finally decided that SB 202, the version that they had on Thursday last week, was something that wouldn't fully appease the people on the far right and definitely didn't appease the people on the left. And they decided it was a compromise that they'd go forward with.
So, Emil, there were no real surprises that immediately lawsuits were filed.
Yeah, the ink wasn't even dry on the bill before we saw a lawsuit filed claiming that the new laws are burdensome and discriminatory against minority populations here in Georgia. And we could also see some large metro counties, Fulton, DeKalb, Gwinnett, Cobb, for example, potentially take action to prevent any of those takeovers by the state election board, what they would see as overreach into local elections.
So with the major voting overhaul done for the session, what's left for the last day?
We've got the budget. That'll be the big item. It's the one thing they have to do for the upcoming fiscal year. Last week, the Senate finalized and voted on its changes for the $27 billion budget for the budget year that starts July 1. It does rely heavily on federal funding for COVID response and relief. But it does put a lot of the money back into education from what was previously cut. Some people think it's not enough being put back. It gives raise to employees at driver services, for example, and prison guards, employees who had to keep showing up even during the pandemic. And now it's up for the House to agree to those changes, and they'll have to compromise and figure out the differences by the time things come to a close on Wednesday.
And Emma, you're watching a few things as well.
There are a couple still outstanding, that need final approval by one chamber or another. So there's the anti-defund the police bill that we've talked about that prevents county governments from decreasing their police, county or city governments, I should say, from decreasing their police force budget by 5%. There is a paid parental leave bill that would give all state employees, including teachers, 3 weeks of paid parental leave that needs a final stamp of approval by the House. That got stalled last year. And then there's, also a raise the age bill, as we've been calling it, which would classify 17-year-olds as children in the criminal justice system and send them to juvenile court rather than adult court, which is the situation right now. And Georgia is one of, I think, three states that still does that. And people have a lot of problems with the effects that a 17-year-old going to, full prison can have on development.
Well, there's still a lot of work ahead these next few days. We're going to take a break here, and when we come back, we're going to find out if gambling will ever make inroads in Georgia. I'm Lisa Ram, and this is the Gold Dome Scramble.
You love free, and at Ameris Bank, so do we. That's why we're proud to offer worry-free, hassle-free Ameris Bank free checking. Manage your money your way with convenient access to digital, mobile, and telephone banking, all with no monthly service fee or minimum balance requirements. At Ameris Bank, we're with you. For more information or to open an account, visit our local bankers in person or online at amerisbank.com/free checking. Other fees such as overdraft fees may apply. Ameris Bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Support for WABE's local coverage on maternal health and mortality comes from Georgia Health Initiative, whose mission is to inspire and promote collective action that advances health equity for all Georgians. Learn more at GeorgiaHealthInitiative.org.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome back to the Gold Dome Scramble, this week with Emile Moffitt and Emma Hurt. Emma, what's happening with gambling?
I know, it's the tale that never, ever ends, even though, as we've discussed, this passed the Senate. This is a constitutional amendment to allow voters to decide whether to legalize sports betting in Georgia. Even though people are already placing online sports bets in Georgia, this is proving to still be a political lift that's quite heavy. And while the bill was scheduled to be voted on in the House last week, they didn't have the votes after all. But as you know, with gambling, it never seems to be dead. It's sort of like a zombie. And I'm hearing that there is a chance it resurrects one more time before signee die. I think everyone's kind of exhausted by this debate and saying, let's just put it up for a vote and see what happens and move on.
Another sign that lawmakers may be getting a little exhausted was that little fight that took place last week over raising money during the legislative session. Emile, what was that about?
Yeah, it's a Republican-backed bill that Jeff Mullis, chairman of the Senate Rules Committee, had championed. It basically establishes leadership committees, which could raise unlimited amounts of money while lawmakers are in session. It passed and now awaits the governor's signature, but it did get a lot of pushback from Democrats and even some veteran Republican lawmakers like Steve Gooch, who thought it was, hey, this is a bad look for us to raise money during the session when people think there might be undue influence from lobbyists. So Gooch actually introduced an amendment to a separate bill that says money can't be raised during the session. But of course, Mullis, being the chairman of the Senate Rules Committee, has a say on whether the bill and the amendment actually gets a vote. So that's not likely to happen.
Can we talk about some of the somber moments that took place last week? The SPA shooting took place not far from our WABE studios, and it prompted some new bills which were introduced in the aftermath. Emile, talk about some of those, please.
Yeah, these are bills that add requirements to 911 services and police departments that they have basically the infrastructure in place to deal with some of the language and culture barriers that came up in the reporting of crimes and the response to those crimes. Sponsors of the bill say this would help in a situation like what we saw with the shootings earlier this month in Atlanta and just north of Atlanta. There's also a bill that would require a 5-day waiting period to buy a gun. That's, of course, not likely to happen here in Georgia, but it does kind of put the spotlight on the fact that the suspect in the shootings reportedly bought his gun the same day that that 8 people were shot.
I will just jump in here and add a little bit of political cold water that these are Democratic bills, and without Republican buy-in, very unlikely to pass. Definitely not in the final days of the session, but maybe even next year. Who knows? But as of now, that's the situation.
I think it's fair to say that the past few weeks have been very emotional for a lot of people. And that's it for this edition of Gold Dome Scramble. Emile and Emma, I look forward to seeing you Thursday at 5 p.m. We have a live event the day after the session. It will be a community event where listeners can join in. We're calling it the Happy Hour edition of the Gold Dome Scramble.
Yeah, it'll be fun. You can actually see how we put this podcast together on a week-by-week basis, so it should be fun.
Yeah, I hope everyone will join us. Bring your questions. We might get dressed up for once. We're radio reporters. Who knows? But come get a drink. Join us as we reminisce about this crazy 2021 session.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a lot of fun. I can't wait to see you guys Thursday. And we'll also take listener questions about all things Georgia legislature. So we hope you'll join us, too. You can register at wabe.org/community. Gold Dome Scramble is produced by Susanna Capiluto. And don't forget our mothership podcast, Political Breakfast with Dennis O'Hare, Theron Johnson, and Brian Robinson. It drops every Friday morning. See you next week.
At a time when information continues to come at us faster and faster, sometimes you need to hit pause and rewind. NPR's Throughline takes you back in time to the source of the news stories filling your feed. Find NPR's Throughline wherever you get your podcasts.
The Gold Dome Scramble podcast is now Plugged In, a WABE politics podcast. New name, same in-depth, on-the-ground reporting from us, WABE politics reporters Sam Greenglass and Raul Bally. We'll cover local, state, and national politics as we go beyond the headlines with journalists, voters, and politicians. New episodes drop Fridays starting April 26th. Listen and subscribe at WABE.org or your favorite podcast platform.